Well, howdy. Well, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. From time to time, it's important to take a break from all the feel-good passages in Scripture and just be honest about the parts that are intense, cataclysmic, and terrifying. As somebody asked one time, how do you decide what you're going to preach on every single week? I basically stick to all the passages given, because to be honest, it would be really easy to just preach whichever ones you're comfortable with. It's a better idea to see what God puts in front of you, because it's better to let Him be the one to speak instead. You see, this is what we look at today, is that today we're looking at discussions of the end of the world, but it's from our Luke passage. It's not Revelation, it's not Daniel, it's the gospel. It's Jesus talking about the end of the world. And in doing so, maybe we actually understand Christ Himself. You see, every generation, it has its own way of imagining the end of the world, and for some reason, our generation seems to love putting it on the movie screen. The film Knowing with Nicolas Cage. There's numbers being scribbled by a child predicting these disasters of solar flares and earthquakes, fire from the sky, and each prediction comes true and creates panic. The world unravels. The sky is a threat. The sun and its flares are the enemy, and the adults hope for their children to be rescued. The whole film pulses with that feeling of people fainting with fear, the earth, the heavens shaken, and the world coming undone. And then we take Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. Once he gets past saying, all right, all right, all right. The world isn't exploding, it's slowly dying. The sky, it's not on fire, it's filled with dust. Crops are failing, nations collapsing, people losing hope. And a group of explorers look to the stars, not with fear, but with longing for a way forward. A future, redemption that seems impossibly far away in some other galaxy. The entire story is driven by fear that the world can no longer hold us, and by the stubborn hope that there's still a way through it. And then there's Armageddon with Bruce Willis, where Aerosmith had one of their best hits yet. The asteroid is coming, the countdown is ticking, and they're going to go up with a giant bomb to blow it up. The world is bracing for the impact. The governments scramble. The scientists argue. People prepare for the worst. Chaotic, dramatic, loud, great soundtrack. But beneath all the spectacle, that's when the same simple truth comes out. Human beings feel very small when the heavens start attacking us. See, three different movies, three different visions of the end, but they share the same heartbeat. The familiar sky shakes, people panic, and the visitors to church today wonder why they picked today to visit. And this is why the words of Jesus in Luke 21 hit so close to home, because deep inside, we have a fear of what will happen if we look up and discover that the world's fate is sealed and there's nothing we can do about it. Jesus talks about signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. He talks about nations in distress. He talks about people fainting with fear. He talks about the heavens shaking. It sounds like a blockbuster, but it's not meant to entertain us. It's meant to prepare us. Because into all that imagery, Jesus speaks a word that no movie ever dares to say. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Straighten up. If the world is coming to an end, shouldn't we be cowering and running in fear? When Jesus describes wars, earthquakes, persecution, though, the disciples, they lean in because they want secrets and strategies. Jesus, though, he's not feeding fear or giving them a timeline. He's anchoring them in what faithfulness looks like when the world feels fragile. And Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear, the powers of the heavens shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your head because your redemption is drawing near. These vivid, mysterious words of Jesus, people have tried to draw charts around them, decode them, tie them to headlines. October seems to be a common theme. Align them with eclipses, blood moons, astronomical patterns, and parties, all in an attempt to predict and make sense of everything. But when you just let Jesus speak without forcing him into our modern anxieties, something else rises to the surface, something deeper, something calming, something steady. Because the point is not the spectacle, the point is your posture. But before Jesus even describes the shaking of the heavens or the roaring of the seas, he starts with a warning that it's easy for us to overlook. Right after the disciples ask, when will these things be? Right after they hear that the temple is going to fall and the world will crack, Jesus doesn't give them a date. He doesn't give them signs to prevent it. He doesn't give them a strategy to stop it. He says, see that you are not led astray. Why is that his first response? Because the disciples are not just scared. They're looking for control. They're looking to prevent it. The temple was the center of their identity, their stability, their world. If that falls, everything falls. So naturally, they want to know how to prevent it, how to hold on to the life that they know. But Jesus, he knows that when people are afraid of losing the world that they know, losing their comfort, security, control, that's exactly when false prophets show up. Jesus knows something about human fear, and we have seen it for two millennia. Fear makes us vulnerable to the wrong voices. It makes us cling to certainty. It makes us follow those who promise safety. And this is exactly why Jesus adds, many will come in my name. Do not go after them. Because when people are terrified of losing what they love, their temple, their community, their comfort, false prophets always show up. And the most dangerous false prophets, they're not the ones who say, follow Zeus or follow Baal. Would that really be an issue? No thanks, I'm good. It's the ones who say, I'm speaking for Jesus. I'm the one who can fix it. I can stop the shaking. I can preserve what you treasure. Because not everyone who claims Jesus is sent by Jesus. Not every voice promising safety comes from God. And Jesus knows that when the world trembles, the greatest threat to his disciples, it's not the shaking. It's the seduction of a voice that tells them exactly what they want to hear. The wrong voice, the wrong Savior, the wrong fullness, the wrong safety. And so before anything else, Jesus says, do not be led astray, please. But wait, is Jesus talking about what's literally going to happen, though? As much as we're tempted to jump into the news and look for specific events, oh, I saw the earthquake, oh, I saw something in the heavens, Jesus, he's using the language of the sun, the moon, and the stars because in Scripture, the sky often mirrors what humans feel when the world shakes. In the Old Testament, cosmic imagery is the language of upheaval and turmoil. The prophets, they reach for the sky whenever the words are on the ground are not big enough. Amos said in 8:9, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. Joel said in 2:31, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Isaiah said in 13:10, the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising and the moon will not shed its light. Ezekiel in 32:7, with the fall of Egypt said, when you are extinguished, I will cover the heavens and make their stars dark. This is not about astronomy. They're describing the collapse of human certainty. They're saying when empires fall, when nations tremble, when the familiar world gives way, the sky goes dark. As Jesus, he's not predicting weather patterns. He's naming what it feels like when life no longer holds the way we thought it did. See, the prophets, they use the sky when kingdoms fall and empires collapse. When Babylon crumbled, the prophets said the stars were dimming. When Egypt trembled, the sun was darkened. The sky, it's a symbol of destabilizing worlds. of our world no longer making sense. The distress of nations, perplexity, people fainting with fear. We've seen nations in distress, haven't we? We've seen perplexity. We've seen the sense when leaders don't know what to do and people don't know whom to trust. We've seen fear so thick that we can feel it when we walk into a room. Jesus is speaking the language of people who watch the sky and feel the ground shifting beneath their feet. He's speaking to us. But have you ever had that moment when the world, it suddenly felt unfamiliar? When something that had always been stable and confident is not? When the marriage has cracked? When the diagnosis came out of nowhere? When the job vanished? When the business seems to disappear? When the friend has walked away and the news story makes you wonder what kind of a future there is for your children or whether you get to have any? In those moments, the world feels like what Jesus has described. The sun has dimmed. The moon is out of rhythm. The stars are moving the wrong way. But the world, it's not that the world ended. It's that the world as you knew it did. See, that's the space that Jesus is knowing. This is what he knows it's going to feel like when the temple, it's going to be destroyed in 70 AD. He knows that the Jewish people are going to be exiled 60 years later. As much as we like to talk about Israel being eternal, the nation of Israel as a physical place, it's never been eternal. It was shattered in half after Solomon. It was overthrown and destroyed in 722 and 586 BC. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The Jewish people were ejected in 135. Israel as God's people are eternal, but Israel as a nation by definition never has been. And the people were about to experience it again very soon. But what does Jesus say? Doesn't make any sense. When everything shakes, straighten up. When everyone around is looking down, lift up your head. Because your redemption is drawing near. The world's falling apart and people are supposed to be positive? What kind of self-help nonsense is this? We're supposed to be happy about the terrible things? We're supposed to live in denial? No, and not just the river in Egypt. It's tempting to think that danger always comes from the outside, from the armies, from the disasters, the enemies, the unknown, but sometimes the world's upheaval, it comes from the very people and relationships that we trust the most, even as Jesus himself pointed it out. Take Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a man of deep faith, a pastor, a troublemaker, clearly, a theologian, a resister of tyranny. He was part of a secret circle in the German military intelligence plotting to overthrow the dictator, and he was cautious, careful, devoted, trusting his closest friends like Hans Ulster implicitly. But in a twist of fate, it was Hans's own diary, his closest ally, that chronicled all of the resistance work that was found and exposed him to the Gestapo. It was not a betrayal by intent. He never betrayed him as Judas betrayed Jesus, but the very thing that symbolized trust, connection, shared purpose, it became the instrument of his demise. The one closest to him, the one he trusted implicitly, led to his arrest. There's a haunting parallel in Scripture. Looking at Jesus and Judas, Judas was chosen, trained, trusted. He shared the ministry. He was in the inner circle. And yet, in a single moment, Judas became the instrument of betrayal. Jesus was wounded, handed over, and condemned, not by a stranger, but by the one closest to him. Because the lesson, it's sobering, is that oftentimes the closest friends do not guarantee safety and faithfulness. Even the things we treasure the most, the people that we hold dearest, can create the circumstances that may hurt us. And even what seems like loyalty in the grand cosmic scheme of things can play a role in the very trials that we face. And Luke 21 becomes alive. Everything will be fine if you pick the right friends. Your trust will always protect you. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, do not be terrified. Straighten up, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. The platform for the gospel is not built on stability, safety, even the perfect alignment of people around us. It's built on faithfulness in the midst of uncertainty and trusting the one who endured even in suffering. See, suffering, whether it's from enemies without or from the twists and turns of fate that touch even our closest allies, it does not merely lead to the platform of the gospel. Oh, all the bad things are going to happen and then the gospel happens. The suffering is the platform of the gospel. Bonhoeffer's courage in prison, his unwavering witness, and ultimately his death, became the testimony to God's work in the midst of collapse. Jesus facing betrayal in the garden, what looked like defeat became the stage of God's redemption. As we see the sun, moon, and stars falling all around us, and the nations are trembling, and systems are failing, and betrayals, large and small, Jesus calls us to lift our heads and to stand firm. Not because the world is safe. The world's never supposed to be safe. Not because the people around us are perfect. They're never going to be. And not because the fear will disappear, but because the kingdom of God is still advancing, even through the very places that we thought were going to destroy us. But where's the hope? You will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's not about the weather. It's about the God of the Old Testament who overshadowed the mountain, the one seen in Daniel's vision when God gave authority to the Son of Man. Jesus saying, when the world feels like it's falling apart, that is not the moment when God disappears. That's the moment when God draws near. Not to crush you, not to punish you, but to redeem you. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to run, to hide, to hoard, to build bunkers, or to interpret the news cycle. He doesn't even tell them to figure out the meaning of the signs. He tells them to adopt a posture, stand up, look up, and have hope. Because the one you're looking for is coming. He's coming to you, not running away. The signs, they're not telling you when Jesus will return. It's telling you what it will feel like before he does. Not calm or predictable, not neat. This is not a question of trying to create a sense of calm. Jesus wants his people to know that the shaking, it's not the failure of God's plan. It's the beginning. The same way that labor pains are not the death of a child, but the symbol of something new about to be born. And Jesus says, when these things begin, not when they end, when they begin, raise your heads and look like people who are expecting redemption. So who is it that lifts their head when the sky goes dark? The people who are afraid? The people who are cynical? Not the ones who live for this world alone. Because God is not done. Christ is not done. Redemption, it's not a metaphor, it's a promise. The shaking, it's not the end, it's the announcement. Bonhoeffer lived through one of the moments when an entire nation was terrified of losing identity, losing stability, losing its place in the world. And into that fear stepped voices, loud and confident, that claimed to speak for the church, to restore order, strength, and pride. And many Christians followed the voices because they sounded like hope. But the counterfeit hope of the false prophets is always wrapped in religious language. But Bonhoeffer said, the great masquerade of evil has played havoc with all our ethical concepts. We must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or fail to do, and more in terms of what they suffer. Because a long obedience in the same direction is a quiet defiance grounded, not in optimism, but in being close to Christ himself. When evil tries to take everything, faith stands taller. When the world is on fire, disciples lift their head. When fear says to hide, Christ says to hope. Because this is not a time for fear. It's a time to be ready. and confident. Because the only people who lift their heads in a collapsing world are the ones who know that they are not the center of it. Christ is. So don't look for escape. Don't look for weapons. Don't look for false saviors, even when we see the temple collapsing. But rather, let us continue to look up, because our salvation is not from within this earth, but rather is from God sending his Son to come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. Because when our world ends, that's when the kingdom truly begins. Thanks be to God.